is John Bollinger of Premier Guitar. I'm with Sam Kiska of Greta Van Fleet in Nashville. Sam.
Hey, John. Man.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Love the band, man.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like an honest, it's so great to hear like an honest to God rock and roll band.
Yeah, you know, we aim to please. We just get up there and have fun. That's what comes out.
All right, perfect. Well, let's talk basses. This is not your number one.
This is not my number one. This is probably my number two right here.
Okay.
Which even though I usually play a P, but I mean, I played the P for a long time, and I had to put a jazz bass neck on it because I love the smaller nut, you know?
So comfortable, right?
Yeah, it's way too comfortable.
Did you start on guitar?
No, I actually started on bass.
Really?
Probably when I was 12 or 13, so I've been playing for about only 5 or 6 years.
Oh, wow.
But you know, it makes a big difference when everybody in the band is better than you. Because then,
right.
then you really have to start, you know, working harder.
That is so true. It's like if you're the best one in the band, the other guys drag you down. But if you're the worst one in the band, the other guys
look at Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock.
Right.
He's like, I don't need you guys. I'll play the Star Spangled Banner by myself.
Right.
Can't keep up with Hendrix.
No, you can't keep up with him. But okay, I digress. Let's. So this is number two, but is it basically a stock jazz or?
It is a stock. It's just an American Pro that I just got this actually a few weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
And it came in. You know, it feels great, and I took the rounds off and put the flats on. I never play with rounds unless it's, you know, like in the studio. I'm really trying to get like a some kind of mean tone. Usually going through like an amp. Yeah. Like I just recorded like something that was really cool out of it was like a 66 Fender 50 Bassman.
Oh, really?
That was nasty
sound. Yeah.
Going out of like a 412 cab, and it was gnarly.
Did you get it like cranked where it's
oh,
dirty?
Yeah. It was stupid loud, but it sounded so good.
So how are you reproducing that live?
Actually,
I feel like we're transitioning to the amp thing.
Yeah, this is.
I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry, Sam, that was me. Let's sing with this bass. So it's all stock, brand new.
All stock, brand new. Got the D'Addario flat light strings on there.
Great, man.
And I use it for a few songs in the set. But last night I played the whole set with this because my other bass popped a string at the third song.
Yeah, I'll hold that thing. You grab that.
On Edge of Darkness.
So third song in.
Right here. I didn't break all the strings, but I took them all off after the show. And I'm actually going to hold on to these because this is From the Fires right here. This is the whole double EP.
Oh, really?
This has a lot of history on these strings.
Oh, that's very cool.
But yeah, so this.
See, that's smart. Yeah, keep them rather than just.
Yeah, just chuck them. My mom probably wants them.
Right.
But so you can tell that there's a lot of mojo. And this is the bass neck that I started on. This was a Fender Made in Mexico jazz bass.
Wow.
And I took this neck from my old bass because I was gifted this, and it sounds so good.
Yeah.
So good. But then. You know, I couldn't play the P neck, so I put this on and it worked out really well.
So in making that transition, did you have to like shim it or do anything weird?
Nothing.
It just popped right in.
Yeah, because I know all these necks are, you know, relatively the same shape.
Yeah.
And I was like, please work, please work.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it was kind of jacked up at first. I'm still, after 9 months, I'm still adjusting the truss rod to really fit the thing, but this is the best bass I've ever played.
That's great.
And see, you see this?
Yeah.
And some of this. This is Blood from May. It was about.
Yeah.
It was a while ago.
Right. Right. Well, that's disgusting, Sam.
Well, it's all about the mojo. You got to keep it all, which is why I'm so upset about these strings. So these strings were about a year old.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all this finger matter in there.
Yeah,
to a lot of people, that's really disgusting.
Right, man. You need a tetanus shot after you
play that bass. Definitely. And it came without a tone knob, so
Why change? Yeah.
But, you know, I always find myself kind of doing these counterintuitive things with my tone.
Yeah.
Like the flat rounds plus the P, so it's really supposed to be a lot more mellow, but a lot of the time I play it with the tone all the way up.
Sure.
And it gets this really, really interesting kind of tone, you know? And
yeah.
I play a lot with the bass, like, relatively low with this thing.
You know what? So, plug this thing in. And let's talk about that the rest of your rig, and you can kind of explore, show some of those crazy tones.
Oh, I got some crazy tones, especially with this thing right here.
Okay.
Actually, I'll just unplug this and.
Yeah. What do you got going on? What's the pedal for? Is that like for changing channels?
Yeah, the pedal is. I've got a. This is a great amp, by the way.
Okay, so it's the Fender Super Bass one. And we're like, what year is this Super
Bass? This is pretty much brand new. I think Fender came out with these amps probably about 2012 or 2013. Okay. And I got this new a few months ago. And this thing is just so fabulous. You know, with a lot of like the amps.
You're just running straight in. No pedals.
You can see.
Right here. One curl cable in.
But actually, this is a really great device right here. The Acme preamp. Oh, and this is based off of the original Motown DIs.
Oh, cool.
And when I'm in the studio, I record with like one of these, but it's like the full tube kind of thing. So yeah, those are badass. But,
so when if you're running direct out, you run through that.
Yeah, but you know what?
You're miking today.
If I'm on like a different rig, I'll definitely use that. But for this, the XLR out is so great.
Yeah.
It shines right through. But yeah, you know they got the two channels, and the overdrive channel is crazy.
Hey, let's hear let's go from the clean to the overdrive. Let's hear them both.
Because you know you got the I really like the bright tones. You know,
right.
not too clanky, but. I like to cut through in a mix because my style of playing isn't very, you know, I think a lot of guys kind of just follow chord progressions, on the lower strings, but I find myself not being really entertained by that because, I learned from guys like Jack Bruce and John Entwistle, and they're doing crazy shit it's crazy, great
it's
stuff.
Like they would never hit the one.
Yeah.
I mean,
like,
you wonder, like, do they know what key they're in?
Totally.
They're just moving the whole time. Yeah, that's cool. And I like the fact that even on your clean channel, you've got your bass down and your mids are pumped and your treble's pumped, but it really makes it so much more present.
Yeah, because, I mean, for bass, it's already bassy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So then it gets to the point where it needs to be more of an instrument than just a sound. And it needs to have more of a part in the music, which is what I find myself doing a lot because I think my mind works a little bit more melodically than, because it's a part, and it should be worked into the
three instruments, basically, so you've got to find your sonic space.
Exactly. Like, when you look at the Cream stuff, it's crazy. Like, they're just going all over the place. And, it's like, sometimes all three of them just take a solo.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
It's almost like with Dixieland, the way all those horns are just blowing and intertwining, they're doing their own
genius.
Thing, but it all works. And same thing with those guys.
It's genius, but so I have a pedal for this channel switch. The normal one's called Vintage, and then you switch it over and it's an overdrive.
Oh yeah, let's hear that.
And so this is, you can blend it in.
And you've got 100%.
100% blending. You need all that blend.
Yeah.
But this is gonna be very loud because this is for like, on Black Smoke, when there's a bass solo, it goes. Stuff like that.
That's great, man. And you know what I love about it? There's some drive in it, but it's, every note's clear. It's not
exactly.
Like bass fuzz when it just turns into a big, kind of fart and you can't distinguish a note.
Yeah. You know what? That's badass too.
That's badass too.
That's at all.
You're wrong. The fart where you can't, where it just sounds like a big fart.
Like. Yeah, but this is crazy.
Do you ever use that?
No. Not for live shows, you know. That's actually kind of what the Fender 50 sounded like.
Right.
But yeah, that's some crazy fuzz. That's some crazy fuzz, but I really love that.
Yeah, well, that's great. Man, it sounds killer. So that couldn't be easier. A Fender Jazz or P straight into that, and then your cab is that huge boat anchor Ampeg 8.
You need it. You need the 810 because there's a. I actually played. This is funny. I played through an acoustic 360 rig, which is, you know, the giant 118 that faces backwards. And you know they have the amp down here in it, and then they have the head is just a preamp. That thing is absolutely crazy.
Vernon White of Earth, Wind, and Fire, we did a rig run on him, and that's, back in the day, that's what he was running through, the acoustic.
And like in the late 60s, early 70s, everybody was using that. Yeah. Like, I look at all kinds of different footage, like, I saw it with the Jackson 5, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Yeah.
They were like the go-to amps at Woodstock.
Yeah.
So those things are wild, but it's hard to get a lot of tone out of them.
No. Huge, impractical, not that loud. But huge.
And they're very woofy, you know? There's like with this, it's like, there's so much tone in it. You can hear like the little crackle. And even like on the low notes, it's got that nice little warm crackle.
Yeah.
You know, and I learned from guys like, you know, James Jamerson primarily.
Right.
Which, you know,
Motown dude, man.
Growing up, you know, the first time I picked up a bass, it was my dad's Fernandez P bass, the ripoff kind of Japanese thing, which is, you know, it's a great bass.
Good bass, yeah.
But the first time I picked it up, I wanted to learn. I heard it through the grapevine, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Because that is just such a cool line, man. I didn't even know that was like one of the greatest bass lines of all time. Yeah. I was probably about 12 years old. And I kept learning that, you know, like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, you know, like all these, the Temptations hits.
And you grew up outside of Detroit, right?
Yeah, so that's,
so those are your
right
homeboys.
There, right there, yeah, exactly. So it was really wild to start figuring out that all these different bass lines were James Jamerson.
Yeah, yeah, dude was amazing, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Well, let's talk about your other instrument. Can we segue into that? All right, so when you're not on bass, you're over here.
That's right. We got everything we need right here. And, you know, I picked this over the Nord because, you know, I do a lot on organ, and this is very, very, very truthful to what a real B3 sounds like.
Yeah, when you track on a legit B3.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have songs like Flower Power where, you know, I want to be on keys for that. And It was like, okay, I'm on keys, and then it kind of turned into, okay, what about bass? Because I'm gonna need both hands to really do any justice to it.
Yeah.
So then I had to get, you know, bass.
Right. So that's where the pedal board came in.
Yeah, and that's like,
man, that must have been tough to learn to do, right?
At first, you know, it kind of is, but then it becomes, you know, like you're, like it's just another part, a moving part, you know. It was great moving from bass to keyboard, you know, like it's already a natural thing to know what the bass is doing.
Right.
And I kind of learned that from Jimmy Smith, which is like, you know, the inventor of the jazz organ trio.
True, totally.
And, you know, he played with like a full pedal board, like 3.5 octaves, which maybe someday I'll get there.
Yeah, that's wild, man.
But, you know, he was wild, you know, doing bass lines with his left hand, doubling it to make it kind of sound more like an upright, you know. Then you didn't have to pay a bass player.
Yeah,
And he was doing these crazy rhythm things, these crazy lead things, and his right hand is like, that is what I want to do.
Right. So can you?
Hell no. Maybe someday. But,
yeah, that dude is a genius, man.
Yeah.
So you ever do the Geddy Lee thing where you like at bass and just lean over and just hit a couple?
You know, I'm usually too occupied on one or the other. But you know, I have Leslie Switch right here, you know, just the basic expression pedal, and
right.
And it all works really well.
Well, guys like get the full-on platinum album, then you can have the full B3 rig.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then we can do that.
When somebody else is calling all your stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that actually argue that these are better because when you get an organ like an A100, C3, or B3, which are all the same in the guts, you have it, and that's the way it is. You can't change anything about it. That's, you know, so every organ has its own character, but the parameters that you can set on this are absolutely wild. Like, you have all of the 9 tones right here for any drawbar setting. And that's great to actually have physical drawbars. But then you can change like how the 2 2/3 drawbar sounds on just this one key.
Really?
So it's like crazy, and there's like 8 different Leslies you can do. Bunch of nerdy stuff, you know. You
yeah,
can really,
I was gonna say, man.
You can really, really delve into that.
For a guy that has no pedal board, you're really going off the nerd deep end.
Yeah. So yeah. So when we're playing, I like to incorporate a lot of different sounds, like Mellotron samples,
right.
Which this has great Mellotron samples. Yeah. So I like to add a little bit of flute in the background, and like some outros of things, and so
it's, cool.
There's a lot of screwing around. You know, it takes a lot of. That's actually the hardest part of playing this thing is knowing, you know, okay, I gotta sacrifice one hand to put something in here,
right.
Or like I gotta turn this off, I add this effect, I need to, you know, so it's like really playing the keyboard. It's a big part of actually.
It's gotta be fun playing. During the set too to like split it up. I mean,
yeah.
Make you like that much more appreciative of bass when you get back from that. Yeah,
yeah, it's really cool that, you know, we can incorporate that into our set and that we have the, you know, the kind of dynamics to be able to, because then Jake will go to acoustic.
Yeah.
And then I jump on, you know, keyboard. And it's really cool. It's
how many songs do you do on keys in a night?
2.
Okay.
2, yeah.
Perfect.
We do Flower Power, and we do one that isn't released yet called You're the One.
Okay.
Which is, you know, more of the ballad type. And yeah, so it's great to be able to kind of take a break from bass and then kind of step into the forefront where I can really shape what's going on a lot more.
Right, yeah. Be the polyphonic guy for a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, I'm not only the bass player.
Yeah.
Because when I picked up keys, I was like, bass players don't just play bass.
Right.
That's not a job at all. Sorry to all the bass players out there.
Some of them do, maybe. I don't know. But no, you're right. The ones, I think the great ones do play a lot of instruments. It's just kind of part of it.
Yeah, because you look at guys like Jack Bruce and, you know, like multi-instrumentalists, really got into like the Indian classical kind of sitar, you know, which is kind of where he got that thing he does with his fingers, like back and forth really quick. That's like, that's how you play.
Yeah, John Paul Jones too.
Yeah, man. You look like guys like John Paul too. Like one of
played mandolin part of the time.
Yeah, everything.
Whatever. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, killer. Okay, man. Hey, well, congrats. Love the band.
Thank you, John.
Take over the world. Until next time. Hey, I'm with Jake Kiska of Greta Van Fleet. Jake, man. Good seeing you.
Good seeing you.
Love your band.
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. It's all right.
Now, this guitar, this is the coolest. Jake was telling me about this guitar beforehand. Coolest rock and roll thing I think I've heard in a long time. Hit it.
Well, this happened to me last night, and this is a common thing with this model. It's a 61 Les Paul.
Legit 61 Les Paul. The first year of the SG, but still called the Les Paul back then.
Les Paul, yeah. And, lovely checking on here. But yeah, last night, which is a common thing with this model, either, you know, usually right here in the neck, where the neck joint meets the body, kind of cracks there. But last night, I found out that this whole section had been entirely cracked all the way through the back. And the only thing really hanging on to holding it to the body is this electrical piece right here.
So your 61 SG is being held together by duct tape.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gap tape. Very rock and roll.
That is very rock and roll. So other than the gap tape, it's all stock.
Yeah. Yep, so, entirely stock.
God, that's great, man. What a great guitar. Now, did you record the album on this one?
I did. I recorded a lot of the songs with this and a lot of the solos. You know, I mean, based on whatever amplifier you kind of go out of, you can get really quite a dynamic amount of tones with this thing.
They're amazing. Those PAFs are amazing. It's an amazing guitar.
And they only made those for 2 years as well, 61 and 62.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
But now, the do you ever use that side whammy at all on it?
I don't. They actually went in and put this, you know, boarded it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it threw the tonality off so much.
Sure, yeah.
But, yeah, but when it did work, it's interesting because this whammy is actually set to, you know,
go sideways.
Yeah,
it's probably a terrible design, but an amazing, amazing guitar. That's
feat of ingenuity. You know?
Right. Yeah, incredible. And so you're getting, are you working your volume and tone a lot as you play on it?
Yeah,
it sounds like you're jacking with it all the time.
Yeah, depending on what song we're doing, like if we're doing Flower Power, which I do, which is originally an acoustic tune, but, you know, I wanted to do it electrically, I'll throw it down to like a level at 9 here.
Yeah.
And, you know, put it in between the treble and bass pickup, so I'm using both of them. And I'll kick my boost switch to bring it up.
Yeah.
You know, and I have my volume down on my amplifier as well.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, when we start the, and then everybody comes in, I can smack that.
Right, right.
And it brings up the level instantly, and it kind of fights to get up to that, you know, rougher tone.
I gotta hear that, man. Come on, can you do it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you want to hear? Just anything at all?
Yeah, man. Just play that thing.
Great,
man. Yeah, and loud and proud. And that's basically going straight
sloppy,
in.
Wasn't it?
No, I love that, man. I love it. That's killer.
Not warmed up yet.
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's killer, man. Well, great. And I love the fact that you're literally beating that guitar to death.
Yeah, poor thing.
So that's clearly your number one.
Yes, I use this most often, yeah.
So when you're not on that one, what's number two?
Well, let's pull it out.
That was killer, man.
Thank you. This guy I haven't warmed up yet.
Go. Yeah.
Right now I'm using this.
Okay.
Quite often for Talk on the Street, at the top of the set. And I just recently got this one from Gibson, I think in LA. And it's a custom shop. It's 2018.
Oh, cool. Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, 2018, and here we are
quite
in 2017. So that is a very new.
Yeah. It's a futuristic.
Yeah, it's a futuristic.
I'm a tour time traveler.
That's great. So stock, all just as the custom shop built it?
Yeah, really quite simple, you know, and then these humbuckers. And
how does it compare tone-wise to your number one?
You know, it's. I'd like it to be a bit more similar in tone to it because of the transition. But
yeah.
I think that it's unique to itself and it sort of has a darker tone to
it. Sure.
So it's a bit muddier even on the full treble.
Really?
Setup. Yeah.
It's funny, man. I think those PAFs are some of them that I've heard and played almost have that kind of Fender-y quality because they're not wound very much, and it's like you're not getting all that bottom. They have a lot more presence than you'd expect.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Yeah, it's kind of twangy.
Yeah. Like some like old 50s Les Pauls sound like a big Tele. You know.
Yeah. Kind of like a fatter version of a Tele.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man.
So yeah, this one's pretty straightforward, and I use a capo. I don't like to use capos because I can just transpose something.
Yeah.
But you know, to make it easier, this is where Josh is kind of singing at.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the song was written, and that's why I've, you know, played Talk on the Street with this capo on the third.
Cool. And then what strings do you run?
I'm using D'Addario 10 gauge.
Okay.
And I use 12 gauge for the most part of my life.
Wow.
Yeah, like you know, I think it was
standard?
Until like last year. Yeah, about last year that I switched to 10s. Because when I got that Les Paul, it had 10s on it. I'm like, it was way easier to play, and it kind of gives me,
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, it gave me the dynamic
to,
you know, do a lot more. I was like playing stuff I didn't know I could play. I'm like, all right, well, I should probably take it down a bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's like playing guitar is hard enough, man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so what's your next go-to?
Well, This is an interesting one.
Yeah, that's too
cool.
It's
called a Cooter Caster, so it's kind of like built from a Fender body.
Yeah.
And these are actually lap steel pickups.
Oh, how great. So who did this?
My producer actually had this made, and I, you know, asked him if I could borrow it and take it on tour. Yeah, but, you know, there's a song that will probably be released on the first album out that uses his guitar, and I use this for slide work.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and so...
So it started its life as a Strat.
Yeah.
And then removed that one, went with a single tone and volume, and then those two lap seal pickups. Yeah. That's great. You know what, and I kind of like that too, just two controls, that's really all you need.
Yeah, I mean, just volume and tone.
Yeah, having two tone controls on a Strat has always seemed so weird to me. That's like a better idea.
Yeah, yeah. And this one's a bit challenging to play too.
Really?
Even with the slide, yeah, because it's like, just to try to get it, you know, it has to be pretty spot on for it to not sound sloppy with these pickups.
That's great.
But okay. Yeah, it's a good challenge.
yeah, very cool. Yeah, man, let's hear this thing.
All right.
Yeah, particularly you're saying it's a challenge to play, so now I really want to hear it. Yeah, totally microphonic.
Yeah, those are the best. Yeah,
yeah, that's great.
So he gets to use the necklaces.
Right. You know what I dig about it too? It's like the tone, those old rock and roll tones, songs from the 60s, and they're not that dirty.
Right.
I mean, they're like, that's like as dirty as they ever get.
Yeah, and I think, I like that about it because it's like, you know, it's be really easy for someone to just crank a bunch of distortion and kind of get anything muddy out of it.
Yeah.
But to, you know, have sort of a clean element.
Right.
Sort of makes it a bit more truthful to, you
like
know, certain
Page
songs.
With those Dan Electros.
Yeah.
There was no getting that. I mean, he could not get them dirtier than that. But
right.
Hey, is that slide just like a chunk of copper?
It is. My dad made this for me.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a piece of copper that I use. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, it looks like glass. Plumbing.
Yeah, yeah, it really is like plumbing wire. But yeah, like this is, it's a bit like early Stones tones.
Totally.
Too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very, like a lot of Keith Richards sort of stuff that's going on, you know.
That's great, man. Well, hey, let's talk about this amp while we're talking about the next ingredient. So, this cabinet, is it a kind of a 70s era?
Yes. This Marshall cabinet is, I think it's between 73 and 75.
Yeah, cool. Stock speakers, you think?
Stock speakers, four stock speakers. Also lent from our producer in Detroit.
Well,
so this is
good guy.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Cool. And what amp are you using?
So yeah, this is a Marshall Astoria, and it's a more contemporary amplifier. So it's actually made, it's like newer, I think within the last year. Huh. And this specific model was made for the Chicago Music Exchange.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's
cool.
Like one of the only distributors of this particular one, and that's who I got it through, the CEO of that.
Oh cool.
And I believe that there are, like, 25 of these that have been made, and I own three of them.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really cool. It's all hand-wired in England. It's all done over there, very Marshall style.
Yeah.
And it's got just one 12 in here.
And you're miking the 12 and then miking the cabinet,
right,
too.
And I'm running it through that Marshall cabinet.
Great.
So it's, you know.
So you're a 512.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, that's
512's
great.
Coming right at you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. So when you guys, you also have like an acoustic element to your music. So what acoustic rig are you traveling with?
Well, we've got a J45.
Oh, standard of the industry.
Yep, that's right. And this one's actually a limited edition that they make in Montana.
Right, my home state.
Really?
Yeah,
all
true.
Right, man.
Yeah, that's great, man. What a pretty sunburst, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you know what kind of pickup is in it?
I don't know.
Whatever.
Considering as a fisherman.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
whatever
assuming.
It came with from the factory.
Yeah, it's all still stock.
And you're just running straight into, is it this DI right here?
Yep. Yeah, you pull it up.
Yeah. Yeah, your brother was talking about that.
Yeah, this one was made, is actually a product of Al Sutton of Rust Belt Studios and Acme Audio.
Your home state.
Our home state, yeah. Right, yeah. In Michigan. So yeah, it's a cool, it's a pretty badass.
It looks like an old Russian military grade something. Yeah. That's cool. So just you run straight in there, no effects.
Right, yeah, right through the board.
Yeah.
And yeah. We use this for You're the One. The song You're the One in this set.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Very cool. Okay, let's talk about that pedal board.
All right. Well,
now,
I kinda...
your story has does it have a boost built into it?
Yes, it has a boost built into it, and then an effects loop.
Do you use the effects loop?
I don't use the effects loop. No, okay. The effects loop can be basically something like I can run a pedal through the effects on the amplifier, and then that's basically what it is, sort of like a channel selector.
But none of that nonsense for you.
No,
you're just like a few stops in front of it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't particularly care for too many pedals right now.
Yeah, I love that, man. That's the way to go. So basically, you have dirt and reverb, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Because our story doesn't come with a preset reverb channel. So I've got this Holy Grail reverb pedal that I quite like to use.
So you've got two of them in case you want to get like super verby.
Yeah, yeah, and then I can just kick
that. Demo those a little bit. Like, so what's your main tone you go for?
Well, the main tone is just, you know, just a little bit of reverb on it and just kind of, you know, straightforward, kind of simple with that.
Right, sounds great.
And but I've got two of these just because there's, you know, parts in the set where I can boost it. And there's this particular song, Watching Over, where there's a solo that kind of, you know, takes it from here and goes, it's like... That's, you know, that's fun to do.
Yeah,
do
right.
And kind of play around with it.
Yeah.
That's always fun, yeah.
And that's why that 61 SG or SGA is broken, because you're hitting
it. Like, yeah. That's exactly.
That's a good way to go. Good for you, man.
Beat it up,
you
know?
Okay, and then in front of that, you've got, what is that black thing?
Oh, this is a Jex Telez Range Lord. And again, that was also, that's another company that's out of Detroit.
Oh, cool. And what's it sound like?
It's kind of got a fuzziness to it. It's essentially a boost pedal, but I only use it for, you know, lifting the boost a little bit more if I need it. So it's like, it's kind of trebly too. It's like, so this is the, it's a straight tone.